Let's fucking do this.
All right, let's go.
We got you, bro?
Yeah.
All right, that's good. Elliot, 3, 2, 1. All right, welcome to another edition of Comp Talk here on Riptide's podcast, Luke's Lounge. I've got my good friend and all-route legend, absolute brainiac when it comes to bodyboarding facts, competition, and just all-round leisure activities surrounding the sport, Sean Gregory Cooper. Coops, thanks for putting your time aside and joining me on the lounge this evening.
Happy to be here, mate. Very excited, as we were just talking about what we're going to talk about. And I suppose a lot has happened in the world tour, if you want to call it a world tour. I think I want to rename it to a South American European tour. What do you reckon?
Yeah, no, look, you're probably bang on there. There's not as many Western locations on there as we all would like, but at least it's something to sink our teeth into, a little bit of meat off the bone, so to speak, and, yeah, see what's going on. Like, there's still great bodyboarding going down. It would be nice to see it on a more worldwide scale, but fuck it, at least we can have a yarn and dissect some heats and see what's going on. We've had two major comps going down, man. Obviously, we're a little bit behind the eight ball. We've both got a lot of things going on. But, you know, first and foremost, the South American leg, Antofagasta in Chile, the bodyboarding festival that goes on for 10 fucking days has subsided.
And hence the word festival.
Oh, so, mate.
They couldn't have nailed that better.
Honestly, like, they must be having fucking long-winded dinners and long lunches over there, eh? Like, it's crazy to see the amount of things they're fitting in 10-day festival. But I guess they do have a lot of divisions to go through. It's one of the only stops on the world tour that does comprise of the men, women, juniors, and DK. And we had a pretty special end to the DK World Championship this year. And, you know, you and me were both very fond of this format. A three final kind of heat surf off between Dave Hubbard and Sammy Morantino, all Hawaiian from the islands, bruh. What the fuck happened there?
Yeah, well, and then we had an all reunion island podium finish. Like with Amori and, oh my God, I'm going to cook this. What's his name?
Oh, I'm just trying to think.
Fabian Sazar.
Yeah. Beautiful soft name.
So it was, yeah. And like, I reckon that was so cool. They only had one contest and that was a really good idea. Like, they did three finals for the boys to take the world title. I think they should do this more often with even the men's or the women's or whoever, you know what I mean? I think from memory, did it go, the first and second final were one day, and then they had, yeah, they did, and then they did the next day, they did the final between Sammy and Dave, and the 10-time world champion couldn't get him. I think he, do you reckon he was like, oh, I've had enough, man. I've got 10.
Yeah. He's running out of fingers, to throw him on. It's a joke. He's a marvel, Dave Hubbard, and you've got to give it to him, Mike. He just keeps reinventing himself year after year, but it's great to see a bit of the young blood coming up through the Hawaiian Islands to challenge the Hawaiian king at the moment, Sammy Morantino. Like, you know, he had him in the first heat. Dave struck back in the second, and we thought, oh, yeah, it's one apiece here. Well, like, what's going to happen? Is wisdom and experience going to kind of overtake this battle here, and the young gun's going to get crushed again? But to Sammy Morantino's credit, I mean, we both said it after watching it, he's got some mongrel, some fight, and he's got some damn skills in the jack stance.
Yeah, I'm a fan, eh? I really like the way he dropped me. Like, we don't get to see a lot of drop knee these days. We just watch Dave Hubbard basically, but I remember saying something about him. I think it was even last year. Like he in the Maldives, I think there was a drop knee division and he was ripping, mate. Like the way he like throws the tail. I'm a big fan and I suppose it's a bit of a shame that was only one event. But I suppose That's the way it goes.
Yeah, I know, but I think on the next year's tour, 2025, they are looking to have four events, and I think two of your best four results count. So that's positive moving forward from the DK. But it is cool to see down to Fagasta. I guess the wave probably suits Dropney a fair bit, giving you know, kind of ample opportunity for good open faces, but then also allowing for barrels and some closing and maneuver sections. You know, I remember watching some of the heats, the earlier rounds leading into that final, and there were a couple of pits going down. I know Moray Laverne was really enjoying a couple of them and whipping the tail around. And yeah, it definitely seemed highly contestable for Dropney there, and you can tell why Antofagasta is probably one of the main events on the tour for DK.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely get it. Like, I reckon you could cut the men out of this event.
Yep, I totally agree with you. I think there's easily way too much downtime on that wave, and yep, I think you're looking at the fellas that are milking sections, and they're doing it well. Like, you know, it's entertaining at times, but it really leaves a lot to the imagination, that wave, and it probably doesn't produce high performance bodyboarding.
Yeah, it's a B grade wave basically. Like, you've got obviously it's all got to do with money. Arika's not there at the moment. Hopefully it comes back next year, and that's got to be the best event on the whole tour. Replaced by Akika this year, which we talked about and I thought was a really good event. It's a high performance wave, where I find this wave, they had a really, really good year last year, where it was literally probably as good as the conditions could have been, with a massive swell that came through. And it was still a bit meh. Like, you know, at the end, everyone's just doing backflip, backflip, backflip. So, like, I mean, the men have got a lot to kind of go to on the world tour, like, and have not a lot of money to spend to go to them. So I feel like, if you were going to cut something, you'd cut this one, really.
For sure.
You know, it's the highest earning event on the tour. So, like, that's why they go, the boys. They get the most points and the most money.
Yeah. And you can definitely see that. Like, I fully agree with that. And I know it's really well funded by the government, and there's a lot of good relationships over there with the tourism industry and the government sectors with the IBC. And, yeah, you know, the money's there, so why not fill your pockets if you can do really well that way? But, yeah, from a spectator's point of view, you could just replace it with, you know, I don't know, pipe.
Well, imagine if it was just a Rico Akike, and then...
Yeah, for sure. I know. The South American League just kind of drags a bit, doesn't it, when you've got all three in play, and then if you're missing a Rico, like you said, the kind of jewel in the crown, you're left with two waves that are... One's definitely highly contestable and good, and the other one's so-so, and it's kind of just not, yeah, really putting the spring in our step, so to speak.
Yeah. It's, I mean, the waves were dog shit, really, weren't they? Like,
especially for final day. Fuck, man.
Oh, my God. Like, it was like, whoa, this is bad, you know?
You almost start rocking up to a club comp, and it's got to that afternoon stage, and the swell got out in it a bit. The wind's got into it. You've had a good morning, but you're slogging through the afternoon. You're kind of like, "What am I doing in my life? Is it how cold's the club? You know what I mean? Like, get me out of this place." And when I was watching Pierre's heat against was it Socrates? Yeah, it was against Socrates Santana. Like, you know, it was a really close heat, 17.5 versus 15.25. Both were going pretty ham. I think Socrates got the rub with a really good backflip to roll combo on a big set wave and kind of sealed it with a 9.5, and Pierre was just playing catch up after that. But you're watching, like, two of the best, well, especially Pierre, at straight backflips, and it just turned into a backflip-a-thon because the waves only allowed that. You know, there was no way to air reverse out of the bowl, or there was no way to flick a big innie. It was like, just get the torso around and make sure you land back with your legs crossed, you know what I mean, and right out of the wash. It just kind of made it real one-dimensional in my opinion. And I was just kind of like, that's not the way you want to decide finals. I know you can't always decide the ocean, but it just, from a spectator's point of view, you want him more.
Well, if you've got 10 days, you've got to get through. You don't get a choice. You just got to run.
I know.
So that's the whole problem. That's what I'm talking about. It's like, it's more of a festival. It's not a World Tour event. You know, it's a festival. Like, maybe they had a party on the beach as well at the same time. Like, it might have been epic to be there.
Yeah, I heard that shitloads of drugs because, fuck, man, you want to, like, spice it up a bit, you know.
But it would have been like that thing they do in the States, like Burning Man, because you're in the desert and they would have been like just like bodyboards flying, like burning and
maybe sacrifices, you know, maybe like a couple of goats or lambs. Yeah, I feel you. I feel you for sure. It could get real weird and demonic down on that beach.
Well, another thing, Tristan and Pierre had to surf against each other and Tristan couldn't back up his eight. So he got the flick in probably a bit earlier than he expected because he's the defending champ. So
that
would have been a tough draw. And it's kind of confusing why the seed worked that way, that they were next to each other so early. But I think it's got to do with, I mean, Pierre hasn't done anything yet. So, or has he? No, maybe he has.
Just has he win in previous comps? He bombed out of Morocco.
Oh, he bombed out of Morocco. Sorry. He didn't go to a kick air.
I don't think he went to a kick air. So that's probably why they've ended up on that side of the draw.
That's why.
But it is hard because, Pierre kind of comes in and a lower seed. And if you draw him and thinking you've got a couple more heats to you know, possibly be competitive in, not saying Tristan can't beat Pierre, but it's a tough one to come up against Pierre.
Yeah. So Socrates beat Pierre in the semis. Yes, he's had a, and then Gabriel Braga got to the semis. He's on a heater as well after Morocco.
He's in the top five at the moment. Really throwing good. Projected back is out. Brazilian Storm, you know, on the bodyboarding side of things at the moment. Usually hurt in surfing, but they're really bringing the heat in the boogie world at the moment. And yeah, he was unlucky to go down to the eventual competition winner in Moises Silva, the local Chilean, getting it done.
Yeah, good on him. I like that guy. And, you know, he would have been so stoked to win in Chile. I don't think he's from Antofagasta, but it's like, what an amazing win. It seems like the locals really get behind them on the beach at that contest. And it's a, like, you know, I mean, they're there for the festival, so it would be cool to win in your own country. So that was pretty that was good for him because he missed out on the comp last year, remember, and Fronton because of the big debacle, and he needs to show that he's there to win, you know, like he's a winner.
Well, you know what he needs to do, Sean? He needs to pull his fucking head in, stop throwing punches, and just focus on the bodyboarding. What the fuck? It's a joke, mate. You can't knock out officials and you're going to take out this world title. Like, it's just not going to happen. But no. And in all seriousness, Moises is a serious talent, and you can tell why he got the win. It was a close final, 16.25 versus Socrates Santana's 15.35. Moises dropping in 9.25 in the final, and just looking like the class surfer there. Like, you know, I mean, there was a lot of luck in those heats. Sorry, excuse my French there, but like, yeah, just you can definitely see that he's building towards something, and he is, like, you know, touted the years before as a force to be reckoned with, and I reckon there's some really, like, obviously with Amir de Solaveras, like, dropping out in the quarters, not a bad result, but, you know, just probably wanted to go a little bit further after winning Morocco and, you know, pushing on from his Fronton win late last year. And I know he's obviously, before we get on to Brazil, he's obviously won that. But, you know, to see Moises come out on top of that field in grovelly waves shows that he's got what it takes to to kind of go all the way, I reckon. He's a really good bodyboarder.
Yeah. The thorn in Amir's side is Gabriel Braga, because he beat him in the quarters only by 0.5 of a point. And he beat him earlier in the year. And in Morocco in the final. So, like,
did he?
Yeah. So, oh, with Gabriel Braga and Amir thought. They were in the final together, weren't they?
Yeah, sure. They were. I'm getting it mixed up. I thought Amire took that out, but it's obviously Gabriel Braga.
No, Gabriel won. Remember, he did the two backflips and
He did. Sorry, he did. Yeah, my mistake. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but he got second, so the one person he can't beat is Gabriel at the moment.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? There's always a bogey bodyboarder or someone that you're trying to verse. That keeps getting the better of you, eh? Even if you are higher on the rankings or whatever, there's always someone to kind of come in and be hard to beat. It's almost like, I don't know, Sharks versus Manly, you know what I mean? Manly always seem to get the rub over the Sharks, and it's a G up.
Fucking Manly, mate. No one likes Manly.
Oh, mate, the fucking, stuck up Northern Beaches motherfuckers, but you know, that's another story. But the women, mate, at Antofagasta, like, it was, again, a bit of a grind. It's good to see Pamela Bowron up there, just in Bowron for South Africa. I know she rides for Handpick. Michael Osler's a huge fan. Yeah, good to see her make the semis. But it was clear from a while out that Myra Viana from Brazil, she's a competitive animal, and she puts it all into those heats, and you can tell by celebrations at the end that it means a lot to her. It was almost going to be an all-Brazilian final, but Yuka Nishishimura, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, I do apologize, Yuka, if it's a shocker, did beat Luna Hardman, the other Brazilian in the draw in the semifinals, and made it a Japanese Brazilian final. And it was super close, 14.35 versus 14.25. Mariah just getting the win there. But again, hard conditions, but you could see the competitive tenacity of the Brazilian just overtake towards the last 5 minutes of that heat. And the Japanese surfer was just left, kind of just scratching on the inside, hoping, and you could tell that, like, she only had rolls in the arsenal and didn't want to really go for that big ARS or backflip move where the Brazilian Mariah really went hard there and just nailed it. So, it was cool to see. Pretty progressive bodyboarding for the Brazilian in waves of, lackluster kind of performance. So it was cool.
Yeah, and like, speaking of Luna Harbin, she is the world junior champion as of now. And same thing, her and her co, what would you call them? Like, someone that you're always up against, Lulana Dorado. Oh my God, I'm so sorry if I'd cook that, but it's Luana. They took one contest apiece. So Luana won in Wayne, the Wayne Pro, and Luna Harbin came second. And then they basically flipped the results with this same amount of points value in each contest. So they had to have a world title surf off in the World Junior Women's, and Luna Harbin came out on top. So, which is, that's pretty cool. Like, that would have been pretty exciting for the girls, like the young girls, hey?
Buddy oath, man. Amazing. I think it's a step in the right direction. And it's obviously Antofagasta is a great comp for the females there, and provides like a solid reef break that can, on the right day and size test, but, always offers up something competitive. And, It's just good to see that this festival, I know we're taking the piss before, over 10 days, incorporates all the different, what am I looking for the words here, Sean, it's late at night, the different division, sorry, so to speak. You know what I mean? And you can kind of get a variety of all bodyboarding. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, bodyboarding's alive if you look at the amount of people in them. Like, Antofagasta's in the middle of the desert. Like, I know there might have been a lot of locals in there, maybe, but it's a lot of people made the way there, and that's pretty impressive. Like, the heat draw is massive. It's ginormous. I'll tell you one thing. Excuse me. One thing I will say is these so there was a tie break for the world junior women, and then there was a surf off in the drop knee. Man, me likey, eh? Like, I think it should be a thing. Like, doing these surf offs, it's epic.
For sure, it makes it way more interesting. It's almost like a Final Five scenario in the WSL, where you've got, you know, when you get to the finals, the best of three heats, and you've got kind of like a run in with it from different seeds, moving up into the final contenders, sitting there waiting for the person that's gone through the whole draw. Like, it's it's pretty cool, and I guess it gives you a couple of bites of the cherry and doesn't allow you know, one mistake or one lack of waves in certain heats kind of to dictate the outcome. So, yeah, I reckon it's really sick. And, you know, it showed, because Dave fought back so heavily in the second heat, and it was tied at 1-1 with Sammy Morentino winning the first. And then, yeah, for him to come out the next day and then seal the deal and win 2-1, it's kind of fair and square, and it's undisputable.
Mate, the point that you touched on with the WSL, like picture this. This is a big, it's very hard to get everyone to go on into these events and how long they are, et cetera, et cetera. But imagine if there wasn't an event here in Australia or something, and then you've got a couple over there, a couple in Europe, and you had a Final Five at Fronton or something. Like, it would be all time, man. You know, yeah, like, it's so hard for all of these guys. Like, you see Pierre and Amore, that it's so hard for them to go to every event when you've got a family and how much it costs, really, because it's the affordability of these, you know, most guys are working, I would say, and in between going to these events, it's maybe Tristan's pro bodyboarder, but like, that would give more opportunity to see, like, a final showdown at the end of the year. It'd be, anyway, that it's probably not going to happen, but it'd be pretty damn good watching Lukey. What do you reckon?
Fucking earth, man. It's an interesting talking point. It can only be thrown out there for more discussion, I reckon, eh? Like, it's sick, and it's always good to look at different formats and say to yourself, like, how can that be, you know, kind of massaged into the sport, and what's the best, like, you know, set up for like a viewership. Like, what's the most exciting product you can get out there? And that surely, you know, would create a lot of excitement. Everyone hated the Final Five when it first came onto the WSL, and I know they've got to change the end location of Trestles, and I believe it will be changed at the end of this year. But, like, you look at it, and it definitely, you know, the mid-year cut and all kind of stuff, you know, again, it doesn't have to be followed so much through bodyboarding, like, in an identical fashion, but it definitely creates more kind of on the edgier seat scenarios, and yeah, definitely should be looked at.
Well, yeah, like the viewership is one thing, but the actual athletes is another. Like, because it would be more sustainable for them to go to less events and then focus on trying to get to what they could go to all the events if they want to try and get to the Final Five. But like, someone like Pierre could just go to like one or two events, get his positioning, and then they could even do final, like top 10 even, you know what I mean? And surf off from the 10th to the 9th and then do it over the whole week that like they normally do it at Fronton. It would be all time, mate. Can you imagine?
Oh, it'd be psycho, Coops. It'd be absolutely psycho. I think it's... Yeah, especially at Fronton, like far out, you could just get so many eyes on the sport and so many critical decisions and moves and yeah, just the execution of it all would just be so much more intense when you think about it. It's yeah, man, it's fully interesting. I know the format now still brings good excitement, but far out, like, you can always tinker with it, and yeah, that's sick.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, this is coming off talking about, like, Antofagasta's easily my most hated event on the tour, for sure. Like, it's very hard to even tune in. Like, well done to all the riders. They got through to get to the final. That's insane to how far you have to go to get there in the tough conditions. But the event after that in Brazil was fucking sick, in my opinion. What do you reckon?
Oh, mate, 110%. Yeah, like, looking through the stack lineup and looking through, you know, all the different days, like, tuning in and seeing the various beautiful offshore conditions that Brazil threw up this year. The Itacoatiara 2024 Brazilian Pro, like, man, it was wild. And that beach, when it's not crazy wild and messy and you've got, like, 10, 12-foot wedges everywhere, which, you know, can throw up amazing bowls too, it just becomes like a real playful high performance location, which just looks amazing to surf. They've got that great water quality this time, and it looked like they just got great weather, and yeah, it looked like a pleasure to be there. I would have loved to have gone over there and just had like a play around the city and just enjoyed the whole vibe of the place. Like, Brazil looks so cool, and when you see the beachy like that, it's just wants to make you go bodyboarding.
Yeah, I think they were due to get a really good year in Brazil. Like, they always get waves, but it's always kind of like tricky and stormy and this and that. But it just seemed to the conditions came to them this year, and I think it's definitely a place that I think needs to be on tour somewhere, somehow, in whatever format that we were just talking about. I think it's definitely it's worth having, because the waves, it's such a bodyboard wave, you know what I mean? Like a wedging beach break that's kind of heavy, it has pits, it has bowls, it can handle big, it can handle small. It's a sick event. I'm into it.
Oh, for sure. And good to see Jay Reel back over there on the commentary, really, you know, giving us our ears a bit of a treat, you know, our eardrums with the beautiful, sweet, dulcet tones of that West Coast American, just making sure that we knew exactly what was going on in between burgers and fries and his usual takeaway order. Like, it was sick to see. Have you noticed that in his Instagram? Like, man, he's a wizard, super fit for his age, kills a bit. He doesn't mind a bit of a takeaway blowout from time to time, eh?
How good's that? How good is that?
Juicy burger. Hit it up, bruh. True American style. Yeah, like the comp was great, and the comp was easy watching. It was good watching, and it just everything came together for them, and it seemed to finish pretty quick. It looked like they had, like, you know, a lot of run days, and there was obviously, because it's only the men's division, it doesn't have the drop knee women or the juniors, but it was just it was seamless, and you know, 4 out of 5 stars on my end. I thought it was sick.
For sure. Yeah, I reckon. Like, the day 3, if that had been the finals day, it would have been all time, really, because day 3 was sick. It was a bit bigger. And, like, I was watching it before I was going to sleep at night, so I could only watch so much. And then, you know, it was kind of like watching the start of the day. And that day 3, the good thing about when it's a bit bigger is it kind of eliminates the backy a little bit, because it's a bit harder to do them, because it's kind of a pretty solid slab and beachy. So the boys had to, you know, bring out the other tricks, which is exactly what they did, man. Like, I saw Pierre do an air reverse that we were talking about it offline before. It was in round 5, and it was fucking a breath of fresh air seeing it, mate. I guess the sickest thing I've seen in a contest since Tanner in Arica. Like, it was like, oh, that was something different, and it looks so good.
Fucking oath, man. He got a 9.75 for it, combined heat total of 16.85, taking out his fellow countryman, Maxim Castillo, in third, and in second, Isaias Ravica or Ravicki from Brazil smoked him. And, yeah, that air reversal was legit. The line he drew into it too and the way he approached the oncoming section, it was almost just in free surfing kind of clip. The way he was just coming down off the bottom of it, his rail like a knife through butter, and then just came up and boom. And the speed in which his body rotated and flicked around knew that, like, he had the perfect connection with it. And, yeah, just rode out of it so smoothly. Like, was disappeared in the wash for a little bit, but then came out with it, you know, and you could tell he was pretty chuffed. Did the old hair flick and the semi kind of non-claim. It was legit.
Yeah, he did mention in the interview that, like, that beach is super similar to Hossiger, where he grew up. And, like, he was like, oh, I feel pretty at home here. Like, because he hasn't been in that contest since, like, 2019 or something. But every heat he went in, it was like, oh, mate, how's he gonna lose this contest? It's not going to happen. He was just surfing so sick. And the waves are coming to him, mate. Like, don't you reckon? Like,
oh, dude, 100%. Yeah, he's a wave magnet at the best of times. But then, yeah, that point you raised then in regards to him feeling so at home there, it just was accentuated, and he looked like he was untouchable. But then we had the 2018 Junior World Champion, and as I mentioned before, Fronton Pro winner Amida Solaveras just snatching it from him in the final. Like, didn't see that coming, eh?
Yeah. Like, Pierre did a big invert off a right. He was like pretty much sticking to the right, so he had a bit of a game plan, and he did an epic invert. And so once again, it was like, oh, thank God it wasn't a backflip. And then the rest of the heat after that, Amirde got a pit at the very start, and he got a 7 for it. And it was like, okay, this is cool. Like, and Pierre's got 7.75 for his invert, and then it just like turned into, like, survival, like, I want to win this. So it just turned to backies. Comfort zone, you know. And I mean, fair enough. The waves kind of were granted for it. But, yeah, it just went backflip, backflip, backflip. And then he kind of did a bigger one on a left, and he definitely deserved to win. But it was close. Yeah, like, I mean, Pierre just couldn't find another wave. He was just trying to find those rights, and they didn't come to him. So I'm like, well done for beating Pierre on that day, because I think he was the best surfer in the contest.
For sure. And I think we've got to mention too, man, like, Pierre almost didn't make the final. That semi-final between Amore and himself was tied at 15 apiece. And just because Pierre had the higher score with an 8.25 just over Amore's 8, he got the nod. But yeah, the two Frenchmen fighting it out there, and, you know, Amore was also looking really good and solid, as he always does, and you know, he's a formidable force when it comes to competition. But yeah, and you got to look on the other side too, like, you know, Amira Solaveras took out Ethan Capdeville, but you had three out of the four semi-finalists being French. It was pretty wild, eh?
Yeah, good point. Yeah, that was crazy. Like, I mean, Amore was on this event. Like, he looked like he had, like, a little bit more energy or something, because he's had a few. He hasn't had probably the results he's after. I'm just kind of guessing. Like, he's done every event and he kind of hasn't got a result until there. Like, that was the best one he got, and he looked good, and he basically, like, you know, they scored the same. So they had an even heat, which is incredible. But like you were saying before, Ethan Capdeville, man, I'm super into him, mate. I reckon his style's sick. He's got a unique, like, really stylish type of rider. I was watching his heat against Tristan in the quarters.
Yeah.
And he basically outsurfed him. Like, Tristan was kind of just doing his thing like he always does. And it was almost like the judges, like, it was just doing backflips, basically. And it's like the judges were like, nah, not today, mate. Like, you're going to have to give us a little bit more, because they always judge his backies, and they're always good. But it's almost like they kept the scale,
lingering there to go, no, nah, give it, I want a little bit more this time. And I did like that. That was because it made like Ethan lift, and he kind of like he was doing backies, but then he was doing like rolls after it, and they were like more like projected and stuff, not just straight off the closeout bit and whatever. So yeah, I'm another noble mention was Ethan Captivall. I thought he killed it.
Oh man, without a doubt, and like the long lineage of the Captivall family lives on. You know what I mean? You've just got a father leading the way. I know Moro was such a big fan of Ethan's father, and yeah, just to see it, like, you know, just a long strong history in French bodyboarding. Like it's pretty wild, man. Like, you know, like in a lot of other sports around the world, like I look at soccer or tennis and, you know, maybe rugby, but there's not like skiing, yeah, definitely, but in snowboarding, but there's not too many sports where like the French are like super elite, you know what I mean? Like soccer for sure, like a European football 100%, but when I see bodyboarding, like even in like the surfing ranks, like you've got Joan Dufay on like the women's side, you know, what other French surfers are like, unless you're Tahitian, like, you know, you got Jeremy Flores, I guess, was on there for a bit, but like it's clear in bodyboarding at the moment, there's a lot of good bodyboarders coming out of France. And I think you've got to look at, as you mentioned before with Pierre, the beach breaks they serve and some of the heavy waves they get down there in the Bay of Biscay. Like it's sick, eh? It's sick to see, you know, you've even got like Maxim in there, and yeah, obviously Pierre, Ethan Captivall, Amore. Yeah, like it's really healthy with Frenchmen.
Yeah. The drop, like you said, Fabien Lazare, he's in the prone division as well, and you know he came fourth of the world in drop knee. It's you got to remember, like at these events, you be turning up, and there's a lot of South Americans, like a lot of locals, coming for you that surf those waves. And they seem to be excelling really well. So you make a really good point, man. The Frenchies are strong at the moment.
Must be something in the frogs, eh? Those frog legs are just juicy, dripping with protein.
Have you ever had them?
Never, man. I don't think I ever will.
So I very, very quick story. I went to Paris and we sat down at a restaurant and I went, just give them to me because I just felt like I had to do it.
And how were they?
Well, it tastes like shit.
Really? Like, what was the flavor? Like, what was
whatever the sauce was what you've tasted. Like, it was just like, oh, no, don't get it.
Fuck, yeah, something about that, eh? Like, I mean, frog is just an unusual animal to eat.
But there wasn't much to eat either. That's the thing. It's not like a big cane toad. It's like a little friggin' thing, you know, like little froggy.
Yeah, little frog legs. Fuck, it puts you off a bit. But yeah, I mean, each to their own. What would you give this comp, Coops, out of
four out of five? Like a beachy contest can be tricky, man. It can be a massive flop, eh? And I reckon they fucking nailed it. I reckon the waves were the stars, but then the boys turned it on type thing, in my opinion. Yeah, 4 out of 5 for sure.
Yeah, I'm feeling you. And Anafagasta, I'm probably going to throw a 2.5 out there.
Oh, generous.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't go all the way down on the scale, but like 2.5 kind of shows that, you know, obviously the infrastructure's there, the 10-day festival's there, but the waves didn't turn up. And without the waves, you can't really be that enthused. So, yeah, 2.5, but still another worthy little stop off on the world tour and lag over.
Yeah, I get it, mate. I get it. I'm on board with you. Like, and everyone was there, so that you are exactly right. The waves just dogged them, and that's not their fault. I just think the waves shit anyway. I think that's what I'm trying to say, the actual waves shit. So it doesn't matter. If it's good, it's still shit. So
there's no performance in it.
Yeah, like I reckon the guys, like they need to do that Antofagasta, and then they go, oh, I don't know. It's just too much, eh? It's too much.
Scheduling.
Yeah, it's just too much. Like, cause like no one from Australia is going to go over there and do all those comps and maintain their full-time job. It's impossible.
Fuck no. There's no way in God's green earth they are, I don't reckon. But,
no.
Yeah, we discussed that a lot. So I feel like, you know,
before
it actually changes, we're just not going to see many Australians go over there, or if we're not going to get some sort of light at the end of the tunnel here in Australia, I don't think it's going to change either. But another good comp that only just recently finished up in Australia, we don't know the full details yet. They're only kind of leaking down the grapevine. But Paul Macquarie takes out their third in a row, I believe.
Really?
Yeah, Team Challenge, the 2024 Team Challenge up there in Port Mac. You know, the I guess the non-certified like Australian capital of bodyboarding, but you'd say it's pretty darn close, and it breeds a lot of crazy good boogs, and the boys have taken it out again. Like, just they're on a heater.
Oh, that's – I was looking at the team on Instagram, so I have been kind of – well, it was hard to follow. We can't really follow it, but bit of a name drop, Cold Coast Bodyboard Club wanted to do this year because it was our first year running, but we pulled the pin, man. It was too hard. There was too much going on. And but like then you see it and you're like, oh, fuck, I wish we did it because it looks so sick. The waves are pumping at Lighthouse. And I know, like, I was in the group chat with all the other bodyboard clubs around Australia, and There was some really good clubs in there. Like, I'm not sure how many it ended up being. I think that was between 10 to 12. They had a cutoff. And, like, the Port Macquarie guys, I mean, they would have been loving it, mate. They surf those beaches all the time. The team was a killer. Like, they had Charlie Holt. Kingy was there, your mate. Still sniffing for the old comp entry. Who else?
Dougie Smith.
Doug Smith.
Chase O'Leary.
Mate, I mean, there's a banging team. So, I mean, well done to them. That would have been an amazing win for them.
Yeah, for sure, man. And they take it so seriously, and so they should. Like, it's a prestigious title. And, you know, it looked like Lighthouse was absolutely cooking. I had a little chat with Josh DeBone today, who was up there judging it and probably slipping a couple of points, the old Port boys on the side, no one saw. But, you know, don't take that away from the win. They got it done, and they got it done fair and square. And he just said Lighthouse was absolutely cooking. Sick little left and right wedges, obviously predominantly lefts usually. But, yeah, just some of the photos I saw too backed it up. And, yeah, you saw
it looks sick, eh? Like close to the beach, shorey type waves, but lefts and rights like just – pitting, spitting, epic.
Yeah, epic, man. Can't beat it. And probably one of the best places to have a boot comp when you think about, like, say, D-Bar, or you could have one at Strati or Mystics or whatever. Like, it kind of gives you everything you desire and allows kind of the best team to win, both lefts and rights. I know Dougie, on our most recent potty on this channel, was speaking about how some of the teams get the shits when it's just held at breakwall at all times because it's a right-hander, and seems to be more, you know, team advantage for Port Mac. But, you know, you can't really argue at Lighthouse, and it's just – it was just pumping for those days, and it was lefts and rights and barrels, bowls, and whatever you kind of wanted. So it was great to see. I'd really like to see all the heats and standings. I wonder how you can find that out, because I'd love to see.
I wonder if you can do it on StackDack.
You surely can, eh? I was just thinking that in my head. Surely the results are there, eh?
Yeah. But yeah. It might be a bit different because it's the team's challenge. Like, it might be a bit harder. I mean, I could look it up now, but it's probably going to be a bit hard to get into. But, do you want to come next year?
You want to come? Yeah, fucking oath, I'll come for sure. I'd love to, man.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm keen as we're coming in hot, brother. We got some talent, let me tell you.
Oh, dude, I'd love to have a spot. I'd love it to go up for the trip, eh? Bring the family, take the van up, carry on, have a nice weekend up north, and, you know, hopefully take some scalps, see if I can do a spinner again.
you might have, like, got your sleep back by then. That's a year from now, so you're about to have a baby, and all the best for that.
Cheers, Coop.
Yeah, so you should be pretty good by then, mate.
Yeah, I think so. Hopefully we'll get some sort of sleeping pattern going. If not, I'll just, make sure I bring some earmuffs up and some sleeping tablets and just make sure it's all good in the van, you know. Need to sleep for the big day.
Oh, man.
Hectic. Well, dude, thanks so much for wrapping up the comp talk with me over the last, you know, hour or so, Brad. It's been a good yarn, and obviously we were lagging a little bit. We had to cover two comps there. Obviously, we've had a lot going on, and you've been helping out a lot with the Shark Island Challenge in the background too. So we've had a bit on, and and obviously the Shark Island Challenge Expression session with Urban Surf and Common Thread film out there recently at the pool. So yeah, heaps
later on. You know, something we didn't drop about that. So the Bodyboard King, Shark Island Challenge, the major sponsor, he has 10% off while the waiting period's on, and you've got to type in the code SICK10, SIC10. Do you remember that? And
we've got to drop that. Yes, I actually had a nightmare the other night realizing we didn't say that. So yeah, 2024 Bodyboard Kingdom Pro, the Shark Island Challenge Pro, invitational, so to speak. There is the promo code, as Sean just said. I know Tobes would kill us if we didn't mention that. So, yeah, huge shout out to Tobes and Bodyboard Kingdom. And if you want to go on there and, use that code for 10% off, you will be cruising. He's got all the best gear in there. He's one of the largest, if not the largest, retail store online in the world. And I just ordered some Churchill fins off him the other day, and they're due to turn up tomorrow. I think it's, you know, ships them pretty quickly. He's real efficient, and just got a wide range and just absolutely kills it, and is killing it pretty much over all the other retail stops and shops, in my opinion. So go check him out, because you won't be disappointed.
Hey, just quickly, another sponsor of the event, HP Bodyboards, your mate Michael Osler. You've been riding that tail that's like a bat tail.
Yeah.
It's like a different type of tail.
Yeah, like, I don't know what they've named it, but I've kind of been calling it like the clipped bat tail, because it's incorporating almost like a clipped crescent tail with a bat tail inside of it.
How does it go on big waves?
I haven't had the chance to. I've only ridden at the island about 3 to 4 foot, and Suck Rock this morning about 2 foot. But yeah, super fun, super enjoyable.
Is it?
Bit more locked in, but still with the looseness and speed of like a normal bat tail. So I'm really enjoying it at the moment. I haven't taken anything over 6 foot, so I can't give you that report. But okay. I haven't even plugged it yet, so it feels so nice just to be riding a non-plugged board. But, I've been loving it so far, man. It just feels just as good as the other board, but a little bit more sturdy, which, can't hurt with my riding style.
No more sliding out, eh?
No more sliding out, bro. I don't have to anchor me big quads and thighs in the wave, you know? I've got this tail that's going to do it all for me.
Oh, good on you, Lukey. Hey, thanks for having us, brother. Let's talk after the island comp, because I've got a feeling something's coming. So,
oh mate, yeah, I've got a feeling something's rumbling. Hope she does it for us. And yeah, fuck, fingers and toes crossed. I know we've all been thinking about it, but yeah, it's coming. So hopefully the next comp talk will be a wrap up of the Shark Island Challenge.
100%, man. I'll see you there. We'll see you soon. Bro. It's happening.
Giddy up. All right, bro. Speak to you soon.
See you, bro.
You.